You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As of this morning, the highly contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus accounts for 58% of all COVID-19 cases here in the United States. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And this variant is particularly dangerous to those who are unvaccinated or partially vaccinated against COVID-19. Now, this news comes as more and more school districts are making masks optional when school resumes next month. Joining us today, as he does every Wednesday, is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Welcome, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
And remember, folks, if you have a question for Dr. Pate, you can send those to us now, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, we do know that current evidence is suggesting that the full dosage of a COVID-19 vaccine is highly effective in preventing hospitalizations and serious illness when it comes to the Delta variant. With that said, though, there is a large population, in particular children under the age of 12, who cannot yet be vaccinated. They are now considered a vulnerable group. Let's be very clear here. We don't have a stellar vaccination rate in Idaho. So where does that leave us in regards to how this Delta variant just keeps multiplying?
Well, Gemma, this is a great concern. As you point out, it's not a great concern for those who are vaccinated in general, but it is a concern for those who are unvaccinated, either because they choose not to be vaccinated or, like our young children, they're not able to get vaccinated. So we face a situation where we're seeing evidence that Delta is becoming more and more prevalent in the United States, as you mentioned in the intro, and we're seeing evidence that it is far more contagious. So it is perplexing if you tell somebody that a threat is increasing and you tell them that that threat is more contagious, then it's kind of a little bit hard to get your head around. Then why would you relax your precautions?
And let's talk about a cautionary tale here. Let's look at Europe, for example. Many countries within just the last few weeks, maybe month, started accepting tourists again, U.S. citizens in particular being able to come over. They've dropped mask mandates. Now they're seeing a surge in the Delta variant. I want to give you some examples here, because in France, President Macron announced on Monday that patrons now must present what they're calling health passes that show full vaccination or a negative COVID test if they want to go into bars, into cafes, into restaurants, theaters, or museums in France. Greece and Portugal, they've imposed similar requirements for folks who want to dine out or go check into a hotel. And then let's take the Netherlands. Nightclubs, they were closed for a year. They opened only a few days ago. The prime minister there just ordered them to be shut down because of the Delta variant surge. Now, to be clear, I do realize that our vaccine numbers, our rates have been better than Europe's. But with that said, I mean, Dr. Pate, is this a cautionary tale for the United States?
Well, it is, Gemma, and for several reasons. Number one, you're right. The United States has a better vaccination rate than many countries, but there's a number of countries that have higher vaccination rates than the United States does, and yet they're seeing this rise in cases. And then secondly, of course, we can look to our own United States, and we can look to Missouri that has just had a very rough time because of the surge in cases among those who are not vaccinated. And this is a cautionary tale because even though, unlike last year, this year Missouri does have the benefit of a portion of its population being fully vaccinated, the number of people at risk with the increased transmissibility of the Delta variant and the arguably increase in severity of illness that it causes is overwhelming their hospitals today, this summer, And they've had shortages of oxygen and ventilators and ICU capacity. So, you know, so first of all, for those who think that this is seasonal, obviously it is not. And second, for those that think we're going to be able to sufficiently protect our healthcare capacity with the current vaccination rates, that does not seem to be likely in all cases.
And, you know, maybe another cautionary tale is Mississippi. Their state officials just today announced that they've had 12 children statewide in the ICU just in the last couple of days. Two of them are on ventilators. Now, that may not seem like a large number, but Dr. Pate, these are children, A, who weren't vaccinated, but B, Mississippi has an incredibly low vaccination rate.
You're right. And it is concerning. While it is still true that the vast majority of children, to our knowledge, will get through COVID fine, I say to our knowledge because we really don't understand the long-term effects yet. But while it appears that most children do well, we have two big problems. One, it does appear that for those children that do get sick, there's some signs that perhaps they get more severely ill than what we saw before. But the even greater concern is that these children are going to take the virus home. And especially for the older children, if they're not vaccinated, it's a good chance it's because the parents aren't vaccinated. So now the child might do okay, but they're going to take the virus home. And now you've got parents in their middle ages, middle adulthood, that could very well get very ill, very sick, even potentially die. So this is a big concern.
And let's talk about what school districts are doing, Dr. Pate. I mean, here in Idaho, we have kids going back to school in a month. The Boise School District on Monday announced that students and teachers don't have to wear masks when school starts in the fall. They're encouraging anyone who is not vaccinated to wear a mask, but it will not be required. This is not unique to the Boise School District. I want to make that very clear. Is that a good idea as we go into the school year where we have children who don't even have the option of being vaccinated yet?
Well, I don't think it is. I think part of the problem is that the school districts are not using good governance practices to make their decisions. We don't know what they're basing their decisions are on, what their priority is. So, for example, is their main responsibility to protect the children? Or is their main responsibility to protect their self-interests or political interests? Or is it to go with the majority opinion of parents because they seem to be relying on surveys to make their decisions? What is the role of science? What's the role of medical experts? And I just don't see or hear very much about that. So I don't understand how they're coming to this conclusion. As we pointed out, Delta's on the rise. If you look at summer camps this summer, we've had lots of outbreaks among kids. I don't know why the same thing wouldn't be true once you put kids back into schools. So why do they think the risks are actually less than they were last year because we were wearing masks? And you know, supposedly these are folks that are expert about kids. You know, my understanding of kids is they're very susceptible to stigma, and they're not going to want to wear masks if their friends aren't wearing masks. So I don't know why they think this is going to work, and I think they're taking a lot of risks. But I think, you know, they need to tell us, have they considered the recommendations of local public health? If so, who from local public health supports this decision so that you and others can go and interview them and find out what do they know that we don't know? And Have they had any meeting with experts to talk about long-term effects of COVID in children? Have they had expert testimony about how Delta is different than the previous forms of the virus? Have they had any experts talk to them about the risks these children may pose to family members and all? I just don't know how they're making their decisions. They, at least one person from Boise State or from Boise School District indicated this was in alignment with CDC guidance, but it's not. That's not what the CDC guidance says.
Right. And I have to say, too, if you choose to have your child wear a mask, who will be enforcing that policy? Right. There's all kinds of questions on, you know, then there's an added layer of trust as a parent you have to give to the school, to the teacher, you know, right. They're already overwhelmed. Now you have to have a list of kids that are supposed to be wearing masks.
Well, yeah. And then you hear comments from various school leaders that, yeah, we're not going to do masks, but we'll focus on other mitigation measures like hand washing and cleaning surfaces. Well, good Lord, we're 16 months in this and you still don't know how this virus is transmitted, that you think there needs to be mitigation, but your mitigation measures are for hand washing and washing surfaces. I mean, it's really unbelievable.
I want to turn to another issue that came out this week, and this is about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The FDA is now going to be putting a warning on the vaccine because of a rare neurological reaction. Dr. Pate, can you talk about that a bit? Because we also do need to say that the FDA said, even though they're putting the warning out, they say you still should get this vaccine.
Well, that's right, Gemma. I think we should make a few points about this. So first of all, this has only been seen with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, not with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that are currently approved here in the United States. And frankly, there's very few people still getting Johnson & Johnson vaccine, at least not here in Idaho, and I don't think much in the United States. So this is not really going to impact a whole lot of people. Secondly, this complication, the Guillain-Barré syndrome, it should be noted that we see this in other settings. For example, even without COVID or without the vaccines, we would be expecting to see some cases. We see this all the time. We're seeing a slight increase of what the expected rate would be in those with Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But the point being that your risk for COVID and its complications are actually greater than your risk for Guillain-Barré syndrome with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So yes, they're putting out as a warning. First of all, it's probably not a significant factor for Idahoans because there's very little Johnson & Johnson being administered. And second, you would still, if you understood the two relative risks, you would still, a reasonable person would still opt, I'd want to have the vaccine because my risks are greater without it.
And Dr. Pate, we are getting questions in fast and furious. Steve literally just emailed us. He said, I am an elementary music teacher in the West Ada School District. I am fully vaccinated against COVID, but I am concerned about the Delta variant and the fact that my students likely will not be vaccinated by the start of school. Should I be concerned with the lifting of mask mandates and a return to normal distancing?
Well, in general, the answer is no, there's not a reason for him to be overly concerned because the evidence that we have suggests that the vaccine, as you mentioned at the beginning of the last segment, is very effective in preventing severe disease and hospitalizations and death. On the other hand, we all have to realize that science is something that emerges over time. We have to get more data, more experience. And what we've observed under certain conditions, if you change those conditions, it could be different. So do I know for sure that somebody who is vaccinated but is spending 8 hours a day with people with Delta, in doors with them, and in, you mentioned music, which we know is associated with more aerosolized spread. Do I know for sure that he's going to have that level of protection? No, I don't know that for sure. But everything that we know today would tell us that he's going to be well protected. But obviously this is something we have to watch. We have to continue to learn about. We should not think that we know everything there is to know about Delta at this point.
Dr. Payne, I want to add on to this because I'm sure that maybe Steve has a similar concern that I have and maybe other, parents and teachers do. Even if I am fully vaccinated and, like Steve, he's around elementary school children who aren't vaccinated, could the vaccinated person carry the virus? And could they potentially infect these children? Because I've been trying to find information on this, and I think that's been really difficult to nail down.
Well, it has, and I'm asking the same questions, and the reason you're having trouble nailing it down is that answer doesn't yet exist. So, first of all, we do know that some people that are fully vaccinated will actually get infected with Delta, and that's not shocking or surprising. We know that. What we don't know is, could those persons, especially because they're likely to have mild illness because they were vaccinated or no symptoms at all, could that person, though they are protected, be part of the transmission chain of Delta? There's some people who are saying they're quite convinced that happens. There's many others of us that are saying we just don't know. There was a recent study that showed that people that were vaccinated, if they had the virus in their nose, the levels were reduced to 40%. And that's good to know, but the problem is we still don't know today what is what we call the infectious dose. In other words, if I have the virus in my nose and I'm in the same room with you, Gemma, how many of those virus particles do you have to be exposed to in order to become infected? And we don't know the answer to that. So I think there's reason to be hopeful that while people that are fully vaccinated, they certainly may on occasion be involved in infecting someone else, we have reason to be hopeful that that's probably not going to be a common situation. But I would give the caveat, we don't know as of today.
Sid wrote us he says this, I've noticed relaxation of mask requirements at my mom's assisted living facility. Vaccinated residents and staff no longer need to wear masks, though policy still requires visitors to wear masks. I'm also seeing staff wear a mask not covering the nose. Is this consistent with best practices considering the Delta variant is on the increase?
Well, I have a lot of concern about long-term care facilities because we have seen situations where a very high percentage of the residents have been fully vaccinated, yet it is the staff themselves who have brought the infection in. And then because it's well known in particularly in our very elderly, they don't have as robust immune responses as younger people do. And we've known that for decades. What we have seen is that outbreaks can be started by the staff members who aren't vaccinated. And what we have seen is that a higher number of those residents, even though fully vaccinated, have become infected. And unfortunately, some of those persons have died. So, yes, I think it's of concern that the staff, may not be fully vaccinated and may not be wearing masks. And, part of the problem is that just because a staff member shows up and isn't wearing a mask, Do we really know that that means they've been vaccinated? Because in most places, you're not allowed to ask if they've been vaccinated, mm-hmm. and so or require vaccination. So, you know, it's a real issue. And I think people, if I had a family member in long-term care, I'd be concerned about having my family member in a facility where that facility did not require their employees to be vaccinated.
Nancy sent us in this question. She says, if I've been vaccinated, I'm confused about wearing a mask. Am I wearing a mask as an example, or is there a medical reason to still wear one?
Well, Nancy, that's a great question. And there's no mystery about why you're confused, because people hold different positions about this. In fact, our World Health Organization and our CDC have different positions on this. I think that the way that I would answer your question is, first, if you're fully vaccinated, let's just start with the fact that you have a high degree of protection. So the chances that you're going to get infected and become very ill or be hospitalized or even die are very low. Now, I'm also assuming, Nancy, that you're an otherwise healthy person. Obviously, what I just said would not necessarily be true if you were immunocompromised or had some other reason why, even vaccinated, you might not have a great response. But assuming that you're a healthy person, then I think the mask use really becomes a question of, what are you comfortable with and what's your individualized risk assessment? So, for example, I would consider because I still frequently wear masks, even though I'm fully vaccinated. Of course, I may be a lot older than Nancy, but I look at things like, in terms of where am I going to be? What is the level of disease transmission? I also consider, what are my own specialized risks related to my age or underlying medical conditions? And then I consider, what are the risks of being exposed? So, for example, if I am going to be out and be around a very few number of people that I think are likely to be vaccinated and not for very long, that's one calculation. If I'm going to be teaching music class all day with a room full of kids that I'm pretty sure are not vaccinated, well, that's a whole different question. And then I think that the other final consideration you ought to consider is, who are you going to be around? Back to your last question, Gemma, about, you know, could somebody that's fully vaccinated perhaps mm-hmm. transmit this virus? And we're not clear about that. But so obviously, if there's a family member you have that's immunocompromised, or if your elderly parents live with you, I mean, there's a lot of other reasons why you might decide, I want to err on the side of wearing a mask.
Right. And I think, you know, in our situation, and we've talked about this before, Dr. Pate, I have a child who can't be vaccinated yet. So we make him wear a mask. I wear a mask when we go out indoors in public spaces, because I just want to, A, be a good example for him, but also I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything to keep him safe. And so I think it does sometimes come down to that. You just have to ask yourself certain questions.
You do. And Jim, I also think your reasoning should extend to the schools. You know, what we need to do is have the masking just to support those other students. Some of those students may have health conditions that put them at high risk. And as we talked about, many of those students can't be vaccinated. But again, we're fully expecting that the age for vaccination is probably going to be lowered to 5, perhaps in September. So I'm not talking about that schools need to be planning right for masks all year, but why can't we just until we can get those elementary school kids vaccinated?
Yeah, it's not a long time. Dr. Pate, thank you as always. So appreciate you taking time to explain so much to us and to also answer folks' questions. Remember, Dr. Pate will be back next week. So get your questions in, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. More Idaho Matters next.